Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast. I'm Dan Maudsley, here with two meat patties of gadget news, all in a sesame seed bun, composing the special sauce and gherkins this week. Summer is here at T3 anyway. We'll be tipping the sand out of the June issue and inspecting all the summery goodness inside. The eyes have it, ITV has arrived on iTunes. The best movie gadgets of all time, T3's been whittling them down. And T3.com's Gadget of the Week, as reviewed by our special mystery guest. Plus, thank you Duncan, plus compare apples and oranges and any other makes with T3's new comparison tool. See what I did there. Joining me, as ever, is T3's very own Duncan Bell. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Anything grinding your gears this week, Duncan?
Let me tell you what's been grinding my gears this week, Dan. It's actually, because I'm a bit slow on the uptake, I'm actually been having my gears grinded by something that happened about 2 weeks ago. But this iPod tax idea has...
Didn't I mention this
last
week?
Yeah, you did. And that's what set me thinking about it. And then a week later, I've come up with a reaction.
Okay.
It's... Like every time you think the music industry can't get more heinous and disgusting, it comes up with something that shatters all your previous sort of world records for being irked. And that's what they've done with this. This the idea of like you pay a tax, and it doesn't say how much of a tax, but I imagine it would be quite a large tax, cocaine being an expensive product, on every iPod or MP3 player that you buy, because you may at some point use it to put music on. That's a crazy
isn't
idea, isn't it?
Kind of what Microsoft did this, didn't they, with the Zune? And they paid, was it one of the record labels or the Recording Institute or whatever they are of America? I think it was one of the record labels.
Yeah, well, they decided to come to that arrangement. If they want to sell their souls, then that's up to them.
Yeah, and lots of people at the time said this is ridiculous.
It is completely ridiculous because you bought the CD already. And then you want to rip it and play it on your iPod. Why should you pay for that?
I fear Microsoft...
What if you've downloaded from iTunes? You're not even copying it, then.
I fear Microsoft may have set a dangerous precedent.
Well, that's in America as well, though, and in America the people are mad.
Yes, and far more litigious.
This is what I think. If they bring this in, what I'm personally going to do is I'm going to illegally download every song that's ever been put out.
Get your money's worth.
Forget it. I'm through with this.
Okay, anyway, it's summer in magazine land at any rate, because the June issue of T3 is out in less than a week's time, 1st of May, to be precise. And there's a particularly summery feel to this one, Duncan. And I don't just mean because there's a model in a bikini on the front, because that happens, frankly, in December.
That's because we sent our art director over to South Africa with a suitcase full of cash to put together a couple of covers.
And
that's
what
he came back with. And bikinis, yeah. That's not one of his, I don't think.
Yes.
Yeah, so summer gadgets. Yeah, it does seem weird, but you end up not knowing if you're coming or going when you're working in magazines. But it is summer, I believe, by the time this at least comes off the shelves. So we got 50 of the best summer gadgets.
In fact, on the front it says 503 essential summer gadgets, this season's white hot kit. So it's 50 essential ones. And then
did we say white hot in the end? We were going to say sizzling, which is a word I really like. But
sizzling.
Yeah, 500. All right, 503.
I prefer phew, what a scorcher.
That's pretty good too. I use that often.
Excellent.
Yes, no, okay, the cover feature is 50, and then if you tot up all the gadgets in the entire magazine, plus supplement, plus everything that comes free with it,
it's 503. So what sort of things can we look forward to this summer?
Lots of handheld things, lots of things that you use to cook food with, and things that run on solar power.
Is there a ridiculous barbecue contraption?
There always is.
That I can purchase for a ridiculous sum of money.
Well, I believe there is, Dan. In fact, I'm told that the Napoleon Gemini BT750 barbecue is...
Actually, that looks the daddy.
There is. That's $3,500.
For $3,500, it probably should.
And it's... We've got all of these have a clinching reason why you should buy these summer gadgets. And the clincher for this one is it's big enough to barbecue a Shetland pony. Although maybe better not to.
Should you so wish.
Yeah.
Anything to cope with the, shall we say, inclement British weather?
I think we've been quite optimistic and actually not included that. We've taken the sort of global warming view. There's the quick pitch tent.
That could be vital.
The festival perennial, you know, the one where you boing it up in the air and it sort of springs into tentness.
Do they ever actually work?
I've never actually used it, but I know people who have, and they say they do. But they say that festival sites are now look like alien landing zones where people leave because they just leave the tents behind because they're so cheap. And I think I'm right in saying that they're somewhat more difficult to put away than they are to get out.
They don't just boing back into the bag, do they?
No, I think you just pull a ripcord and it just vanishes. I think it involves quite a lot of having to sit on things.
More festival vital gadgets, the beer chill dispenser.
I think try and take that into a festival. You know, you'd have your legs broken, but yeah, if you can snuggle it in.
It looks just like a normal esky, I'm sure, you know. you could get away with that.
Yeah,
you
took maybe, the tap maybe. Off. It's I do like those beer dispenser things, although I have to say that there's a perfectly good way of dispensing beer portably, and it's called like a can or in a bottle, and that works pretty well too. But it's a nice thing. My personal favourite thing, though, in the entire thing is the condiment gun.
The what gun?
The condiment gun.
I'm glad you clarified.
You fill it up with ketchup or Daddy's special sauce or HP sauce, and then squirt it at your burger. I don't recommend getting it if you've got children or friends who are habitually drunk. But it's, it would be like a kind of really horrendous version of the Bugsy Malone gunfights.
With instant effects?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Most expensive thing on there?
Probably that barbecue, actually.
Is it the barbecue?
Oh, the Triumph Speedmaster.
Oh,
because you have to have a motorbike for summer.
Absolutely.
And then you put it away once autumn comes.
Good.
Of course.
Now, moving swiftly on, we are, of course, stars of iTunes ourselves.
Yes, we are.
What's that, Duncan? Did you say we're now in the technology top 10?
I believe we are, and I believe we're the third most popular gadget webcast, and both the people above us are using video, which, as I explained last week, is cheating.
And you can subscribe via the website or by searching for t3.com within iTunes.
Yes, you can.
You are a mine of information.
And we're quite frequently on the homepage with a thing saying, go and look at this, it's great.
Yeah, basically, it's compulsory.
But remember, kids, if it's got video, you don't want to know.
It's cheating.
Yeah, it's cheating.
Although yours rhyme better. Excellent. But we don't mind a bit of healthy competition, of course. And joining us on iTunes is ITV.
Yeah, whoever they are.
Finally, I think we should say, after BBC and Channel 4 did this months ago.
Yeah, they've done it in a slightly half-assed way, it has to be said. Or maybe the ITV doesn't have that many good programmes. I don't know, but it seems to be a lack of programmes.
I was going to say, it's not a massive selection.
And it's got stuff like Brideshead Revisited, which everybody always says, oh, that's a classic.
Hold those thoughts, because I am going to test you on some theme tunes.
Oh, really?
From
ITV programs.
iTunes selection.
I'm really middle class, so I never watch ITV.
Good.
And my parents never did either, so I probably won't get any of these, but go on.
Okay, well, here we go. Try this one. You might recognise the song.
That's Neighbourhood by Space.
Female of the Species.
Well, all right, it's Female of the Species by Space. Sue me.
The programme?
Absolutely no idea.
Oh, Cold Feet.
Oh, I never watched that.
Is a classic. You've never watched it.
I saw about 10 minutes of it.
I feel you can no longer be my co-host. Next one.
Oh. That's a jaunty number.
That's.
Was that Captain Scarlet?
Yes, it was. It was. I particularly like that one, actually. I'd forgotten how good that theme tune was.
That's great. And I don't make him like that anymore.
And finally, I sense you'll get this one. Here we go. Any clues?
God, that's ponderous, isn't it? That is Brideshead Revisited.
It is Brideshead Revisited. In fact, we can get a little snippet of what you can look forward to if you download one of those Brideshead Revisited programs. Here we go.
I'm just going to lean on something foppish
later. Up from every bin, and it was during those tranquil evenings with Sebastian that I first made a real acquaintance with wine.
Ought we to be drunk every night?
Oh, yes.
Yes. I think we should.
Mm. If you can't really tell from the sound of it, that's him falling into a some water feature in the
ground.
Was it?
That was Jeremy Irons.
Yes.
A man who's so tall, pale and wooden that he could be a goalpost.
Mm.
I didn't just think that joke up.
No, good. Lewis and the Saint are on
Lewis.
There.
Lewis.
Lewis. I know, not even Morse. They've put Lewis on.
There's been a murder. That's very my good. Inspector Morse impression.
That's very good. And that's it.
And
actually.
The Saint.
Yeah, the Saint.
That's really scraping
so
the barrel.
So it's Cold Feet, Captain Scarlet, Brideshead Revisited, Lewis and the Saint.
Something for everyone.
Yeah. What did they just sort of drag up whatever they could find?
I think that's going through a book of old programmes with a pin and a blindfold.
Anyway, £1.89 a pop if you're interested. And there will be more on the way, we're told. And I should say, subscribing to us is, of course, free.
Yes.
Well, moving on from TV to film, because T3 this month has the best movie gadgets of all time.
Mm.
All 24 of them. Are there no more? Is that it?
No, there's only ever been 24 gadgets in films. Yeah, a lot of research went into this feature.
I would have thought sort of one half hour of Bond would give you Garner 24 gadgets.
Oh, everyone's a critic, aren't they? Well, we just picked the very best of the...
Are there any Bond gadgets in there?
Yeah, there's a waterproof... bulletproof watch. Waterproof watch would be completely unimpressive.
Not that impressive.
Mr.
Sort of
Bond.
Thing I used to show off in the playground. Look, 10 ATM.
Yeah.
So bulletproof, which
it's
is handy
if
the bullet is going precisely at your wrist.
Yeah, that's what we all said in the office. Because Wonder Woman had bulletproof bracelets, didn't she? And she was somewhat more athletic than Sean Connery. Or no, this is Roger Moore actually, because this is from Live and Let Die.
Mm.
But we do have a very nice picture of a Rolex, which is the watch, because the point of this article obviously is it's gadgets you can buy. Mm-hmm. They're the equivalent of these amazing movie gadgets. And this is actually the watch that Bond wore, but it isn't bulletproof.
Right.
And I say that just in case anyone was thinking of buying and then having somebody shoot them in the wrist.
Should that happen?
Yeah, could happen.
Quite painful, I'd imagine. What's your pick of the bunch, then?
I like the memory eraser from Men in Black, because I have one of those myself.
So the memory eraser, what's the real world equivalent?
There isn't one, because not all of these gadgets have real-world equivalents.
Oh, okay.
I think the feature.
I think you just came up with one there with the alcohol element. We could have gone back to that beer chiller and suggested you drink lots
of beer. There's a
guide
to horrendously alcoholic cocktails in this month's issue as well,
so there really is something for everything. Good. Does the Dell laptop in Swordfish count?
Well, I suppose so.
I don't know if you remember the scene.
Unfortunately, I've never seen Swordfish, most people in the world.
It's the one where Mr. Travolta is attempting to hack into something.
Yeah, John Travolta even knows how to turn on a computer.
Whilst receiving something. Anyway, if you've seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Anyway, so we've got a lightsaber, real-life lightsaber, a real-life Ghostbusters proton pack.
Good.
Which, strictly speaking, is a water pistol.
I haven't seen my favourite, actually.
What's that?
I'll play it to you. From that 80s classic, The Wizard.
What is that?
Fire from the gods.
I don't know.
The power glove. I love the power glove. It's so bad.
It's so bad. And by bad, he means good.
That's the way young people talk. They did in the 80s. Yeah, Power Glove.
The Power Glove. Did that pass you by?
That was a Nintendo add-on.
It was indeed, yes. And what's comic about the film is the Power Glove, I think
the film
came out before the Power Glove came out. Exactly.
Oh, right.
The Power Glove doesn't work.
No, it was launched.
It really doesn't work. But in the film, you see him kind of, you know, moving his fist around, controlling a car. But the movements he's making bear no relation to what's happening on screen at all.
So it's a computer games based movie. Is this the one where somebody has to fight off an alien invasion because they're really good at computer games?
Basically three kids run away and one of them's a video game champion and there's lots of video games in it. I think it's one of those
cases. Did it win an Oscar?
Where, you know, some film executive went, this Nintendo thing.
Kids like computer games. Let's get me a film about that.
Kids love Power Rangers. Let's make a film. You know, that sort of thing. I don't know if they talk like that.
Only if they're, yeah.
Yeah, in Bugsy Malone, perhaps.
Or if they're English.
Yeah, good. Well, excellent. Okay, well, that's all in this month's T3, out on the 1st of May. Now, T3.com, the more ethereal online version of T3, has been picking its gadget of the week, which is this week the Navigon 2100.
The Navigon 2100.
Nice bit of kit, this.
It is. It gets you from A to B and features... it basically tells you when to get off the motorway, which is always good. It counts down to... which is kind of like real life. If you're driving with somebody who's a nervous driver, it's always like, oh, are we at the right one? Are we on the right one? And it's like, no, we're 10 junctions away. And count them down. Now! off! Oh, you've missed it!
So it counts down.
So it does that. It also shows you road signs.
I was going to say, useful. I knew there was something special.
But then I think that's possibly a slightly dangerous feature because I think you're supposed to see road signs by looking at the road as opposed by looking at your sat nav.
But if you just glance down, I suppose it's quite a clear way of showing you.
I suppose so. Mm. It's a good product because the thing I thought about this is that it's got all these extra features, but it's basically a very sound sat nav and it only costs £100.
That is
rather
good,
raises the question, why would you bother spending
£300? The other nice bit about this is it tells you which lane to be in, which.
That's handy.
You know,
as well.
At certain junctions, it's actually a lifesaver.
Yep, that's so you end up where you want to be, as opposed to Stoke.
Yes, exactly.
For instance.
Well, as you know, We do like to get second opinions from those less socially gifted than ourselves. This week, Fishy Comics, probably not his real name, has been let loose with the Navigon 2100. This is how he got on.
We're here with the Navigon 2100, and we're in Concord, Lexington, trying to get back to the town of Natick. So let's check up on the GPS unit and put in our destination where we have to go, and let's get started. Now that the GPS unit is all set up to get us back to the Hampton Inn, let's get started with the trip.
Now, I have no idea where Natick is, but I'm guessing it's ping in the middle of America and not at the sort of edges.
I think it's fair to say it's not in a panty-waist coastal states where people don't believe the world was created 4 days ago.
I should also point out at this point that Fishy Comics is driving in thick snow.
Why is he called Fishy Comics?
I have no idea. And he's about to turn down a track that he had trouble spotting because it was so covered with snow.
Fair enough.
Thankfully, for the review, he does make it out the other side. Here we go.
In 500 feet, turn left onto Elbridge Road.
I would never take this turn. Don't know where I'm going. Private property.
Doesn't sound good.
It doesn't. They've got big guns in that part of
America. This was a local road. Got me to where I needed to get to. If I could stop. Something I would never try on a snowy road. Scary as hell.
I'm liking his little stereo going on there. At this point, I wouldn't have said he's going to rate this.
Well, I wouldn't have said he was going to say anything that I could even understand. But yeah,
given that it's taken him,
it seems to be going quite badly.
A dirt track, and he was skidding.
He kept on saying, "This is something I'd never do."
So, okay, well, let's get the final verdict.
It directed me to take this route through a reservation during a wintry snowstorm. I was really not sure where I was going to the last 3 miles of the trip. So if you're looking for something excellent to have to get you where you have to go in an unfamiliarized area, check out the Navigon 2100.
How does he get to that conclusion? So he basically says, this
he obviously
took me
likes being lost.
Down a dirt track that was hideously dangerous and I could have died.
Yeah.
But it's excellent.
It's that American pioneer spirit, I suppose.
Anything to add to that excellent review, Duncan?
I don't think there's anything I could possibly add to that.
Well, moving on then to the end of the show. Just time before we go, for me to tell you about a new compare feature on T3.com, which I haven't tried yet, actually, because it isn't up there. But I'm assured it will be soon, and it's revolutionary, let me tell you. I do like this, actually. Basically, you can put it... Say you, Duncan, were looking for a 5-megapixel camera, for instance.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why you would... 10 megapixel. Let's say 10 megapixel. Let's bump that up a bit.
Okay.
You could just type in 10 megapixel camera, and all of the reviews of 10 megapixel cameras would pop up.
That's pretty good.
I do like that, actually.
Where can I find this feature, Dan?
Well, funny you should ask. Hopefully on T3.com. I can't find it because it's not up there yet. But
no, it hasn't gone live yet. But it...
possibly sometime this week. So, you know, keep hitting that F5, shift F5.
Depending on which day you're listening to this podcast, it's either just up or...
Good.
Or it will be tomorrow.
So, Duncan, as ever now, your quickfire reactions to this week's last words.
Oh,
if
yes.
You please, the Sony Play TV.
Is that the one on the PSP or the one on the PS3?
It's the PSP, I think, version.
Oh, in that case, cool. Fantastic. Like that.
Did I say PSP? I meant PS3.
Oh, not cool then.
3G
Don't
iPhone.
Want that.
3G iPhone?
Marvellous. Don't we have this one every week?
Until it comes out.
Still not here. Yeah.
Disposable mobile phones.
They all are, aren't they?
This one's meant to be, though. And Pico projectors.
Is that a multiplex in your pocket, or are you just pleased to see me?
Yes, I see what you did there. Okay, your love match is Dennis Waterman.
Ooh,
don't know where that came from. New T3, out May 1st, plus all the latest on T3.com. Till next week, I've been Dan Maudsley. Now you've been listening to the T3 podcast.